Thank you, Michelle. Well done. Wow. Isn't it just so sweet tonight? The fragrance of Christ. It is so beautiful. Just enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. Tonight I want to talk to you about good and bad. I have a message entitled, it's not about good or bad, it's about life or death. And we're going to read from Ephesians, so if you are in the right frame of mind, grab yourself your Bible and turn to the book of Ephesians. We're going to start in the first chapter. More, Lord. We love Your presence. We love Your presence. Wow. You know what? I just love watching Michelle enjoy the presence of the Lord. Hey, don't you guys enjoy that? Watching Michelle, she is just such a blessing to me to see how you love encountering God. You enter into His presence so easily. And I think, friends, there's so much we can learn. We don't cast a judgmental eye. There's two things we've got to be careful of. Number one is casting a judgmental eye. And number two, looking down on ourselves. Saying, why can't they control themselves? Or, what's wrong with me? Neither. Let them enjoy God. And you enjoy God the way God wants to touch you and the way you enjoy God. Amen? Amen. All right, let's read Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from verse 17. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I want you to say after me, just say this to God. Father God, I ask You to give me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, that I may know You much better than I know You now. Amen. My first point that I want to make tonight is that we cannot know Him unless we have supernatural revelation. The more revelation we receive, the better we know Him. The better we know Him, the more abundant life we have. The more abundant the life we live. You see, it has to come by spiritual revelation because grace, unconditional love, mercy is not something that human intellect can understand. The human intellect understands good and evil. It understands the concept of revenge. What you do is what you deserve. What you put in is what you get out. But God isn't like that. Although He is just, and although He is righteous, He is love itself. And He loves unconditionally. And He wants to love. And so we can never grasp the concept of who God is unless we have it revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And I just find too much of the world is trying to figure out God, trying to figure out what He's doing. Maybe tonight you're asking, what is going on? I'd like to put it to you. Rather than trying to figure it out, ask Holy Spirit to reveal Himself to you, to reveal the Father to you. You see, what I pray happens tonight as I open up this passage in Ephesians is that you would realize that you, as a Christian, as a born-again believer, can be a partaker of true life. Not just great, I'm going to heaven, but you can enjoy abundant life. Jesus said in John 10:10, He said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, and life abundant, full life." You see, the more you know God, the more you know His love, the more you enjoy life, the more you enjoy living, no matter what you're going through. Let's have a look at chapter 2 and get into the main bulk of scripture that I want to read tonight. In verse 1 of chapter 2, Paul goes on to say, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." Disobedient to what? Oh, you're disobedient. You see the spirit that's at work within you? Uh-uh. Disobedient to the gospel. Those who are disobedient to the call of the gospel. And if you're disobedient to the gospel, the only way through which you may know the Father, Jesus said, "I am the way to the Father. No man may know the Father except through me." If you're disobedient to that good news, there's no ways you can know Him. There's no ways you can enjoy that life. And so you remain dead in your sins. "All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." And my second point is this. This is a life or death issue, not a good or bad issue. Are you dead or are you alive? Heaven is full of life. Heaven is alive. Come on now. Heaven's not dead. This is wonderful. This is just a glimpse of heaven. Heaven is so full of life. I tell you what, we don't know what we're in for. This isn't about living righteous. This is not about living good lives. This is not about trying to conform. It's about life or death. Simple. See, there's two groups of people on this earth. And I've put it this way before. Those who are in first Adam, or those who are in second Adam, Jesus. And another way of putting that is simply this. There are those who are spiritually dead, and there are those who are spiritually alive. And I want to show you a diagram which is going to explain a little bit what Paul says there, the cravings of our sinful nature. We have two people represented here. These two people, those who are in first Adam and those who are in last Adam. Go read Romans chapter 5 if you want to find out more about that. The old man is the one on the left, and the new man's the one on the right, okay? Now, we are spiritual beings. When we die, our bodies are just simply cells. They simply, literally the dust of the earth. And when we die, our cells die. The electricity that keeps us alive, the impulses of our brains die. But our spirits continue. Alright? Now, when... Wonderful. No, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Okay. Follow with me now. Follow with me now. For those that aren't enjoying, you're with me. Paul says here that if you're dead, we were dead in our transgressions. Before I became a born-again believer, that's what my heart used to look like. It was uncircumcised. Let's have a look at this verse. It's going to come up in Colossians 2. It says, in Him, Jesus, you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ. Now, here's what happens. Jesus died so that you may have life. Each and every man born after Adam and Eve were born with dead hearts inside of them. It says right there clearly that we were dead in our sins. We were born with dead hearts inside of us. When Jesus died, He was God in the flesh. But He tasted death. He died so that we may live. And when we put our faith in Him, the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And what He does is, He cuts away in our spirits, in the spiritual realm. He cuts away that sinful nature. And He makes us a new creation, a new man. And all of a sudden, we are made alive. Let's keep reading. Have a look at verse 4. Do you follow me so far? Okay, we're going somewhere. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. So when we put our faith in Jesus, when we acknowledge Him as the Son of God, when we acknowledge that we can only enter heaven through what He did on the cross, the Holy Spirit comes upon us and He makes us alive and we become new people from the inside out, okay? But now, it's not anything you do. It says, it is by grace you have been saved. And my third point is this. It is because of His great love. Nothing we did made us deserve God's love. Made us deserve God making us alive with Him. You see, God wants relationship with you. And that's why He made a way. He could have said to Adam and Eve right in the beginning, okay, you guys messed it up and let's start again. But God is love and He wants relationship. And He put in place a plan of redemption. And God wants a relationship with you. He wants you to enjoy Him. He wants you to enjoy fellowship with Him. And because He is love, He made a way. By grace, we have been saved. God doesn't like religion. Religion is what He came to destroy. You see, the Israelites were chosen by God by grace. Do you know that? The Israelites were a group of people that really were weak. And so God chose them by grace. And they were a picture of us. When we are made alive with Christ, we can do anything through Him who strengthens us. And we show the world His great power. And so the Israelites were a picture of His grace. But you see, they didn't get it. The Israelites didn't get it. And the leaders thought they could control the people, manipulate the people. And when Jesus came, the very thing He came to destroy was that whole system of rules and regulations where they were controlling people, manipulating people, putting fear into people. That is the very thing Jesus came to destroy. God's not part. Can I tell you, God's not part of rules and regulations. The law is rules and regulations. Grace is based on relationship. Relationship with Him. It says in Galatians 5:16, walk by the Spirit and you won't gratify the desires of the sinful nature. When you're just walking in Him, enjoying Him, you don't want to go out and sin. You don't want to gratify the flesh. But let's move on. This is, now we're getting to the key of what I want to say here. It says in verse 6, have a look at this. And God raised us up with Christ. Do you see how this is in the past tense here? And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. So if you are a new man, your spirit right now is in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Right now. We play this game. For too long we've played this game where you've got to try get to heaven. My friend, when you put your faith in Him, you were made alive and seated in the very heavenly realms. Christ Jesus, we're with Him. And it says, it goes on to say that He is seated far above every principality, every rule and reign is where Christ is. And we are with Him in the heavenly realms right now. And so the reason I opened up with Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17 is because this is stuff that you cannot intellectually grasp. To try and get your mind around the fact that right now me, James Preston, is with Christ in the heavenly realms right this very instant with Him, enjoying fellowship with Him right now, is crazy. Which is why it can only come by revelation. And you see, we need, this is what I've said before, we need to be preaching the good news. We need to be enjoying the Holy Spirit. We need to be allowing Him to reveal that truth to us. Because the more we're awakened to these rich truths, the more we're awakened to these incredible truths, I tell you what, we will enter a day when the church really is a force to be reckoned with. This is life. It's this stuff that Jesus was talking about. When we start realizing these truths, we can go through anything. We can face anything. Because you know where you are. Not where you're going. You know where you are. I'm in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus right now. Sorry, devil. You're not. True. And then it goes on to say, in order, He did this, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Even our faith is a gift. Not by works, so that no man can boast. No one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And finally, my last point is this. God chose you. He created you to show the world His grace. You see, the very fact that He would take people who rebelled against Him, that He would murder His own Son for people who literally spat in His face, and He would take them and seat them in the heavenly realms with His Son, who lived a perfect and holy life, the very fact that He did that shouts to the universe of a God who is so rich in love and grace, who is so rich in mercy. And the angels, it says that the angels long to look into these things. This is so mind-blowing that even the angels are in awe of this. You see, that's what it's talking about. It says, He did this to, that He might show the incomparable riches of His mercy and grace. He's showing it to the universe, not just the world, to the universe, to the demons, to the angels. They stand in awe at what God has done for you and I through Christ Jesus. The fact that God can take some of the worst stinking sinners in the world and turn them around to be the most incredible people filled with love and kindness is a testimony of His grace. It's a testimony of His mercy, of His goodness, of His love. And then it says in verse 10 that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you and I to do. See, God's crafted each and every one of you individually to do works that would show the world His glory, show the world His goodness, show the world His grace. You know, I was with someone not too long ago after an incident where someone had wronged them, and this person wasn't a born-again believer. Now, if you can get that picture, we might go back to a little bit later, but if you can get that picture of the two people, the one where sinful nature is still within, in your spirit, and the one where it's been circumcised and cut off, you might understand this. But I was with a person who wasn't a Christian, and they had been terribly hurt by some people, and they were weeping and they were crying. And their words to me, I can never forgive. I can never forgive. I will never. The relationship has changed and I will never forgive them. See, when you realize what God has done for you, you realize the love that He's poured out on you, it's actually easy to forgive no matter what someone does for you. It's like Stephen getting stoned, and His face is shining with glory. See, we're a new... It says in 2 Corinthians 5, we're a new creation. It's like literally we're a new species on the planet. We're aliens in this world. They don't even understand us. And we must come into this realization. And I know it's a... oxymoron, we must. But you know what? It's the Holy Spirit, which is why it's so important we preach these truths. And so that's, I just wanted to encourage you tonight. When you fully realize who you are, when you fully realize where you are, what He's done for you, what His plans are for you, it's going to keep you going. It'll inspire you to press on. You'll be able to face anything. When you realize His goodness, when you know His goodness, you'll be able to face anything. All we do, everything we do comes out of that place of intimacy with Him, in the river of His love and grace and peace within our hearts. And so I just want to pray with you tonight. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He makes you alive. And you are alive to God. You're alive to the Creator of the universe. You can instantly, in that moment, commune with Him and receive peace with Him. You can walk in relationship with Him. It says, Jesus said in John 4, the Lord is Spirit, and His worshippers worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so what happens is that dead heart comes alive, your spirit comes alive, and you commune with Him. You have relationship with Him. So in this room right now, you either are alive, and I want to encourage you. Maybe you feel like you're in and out of salvation. You don't know if God's accepted you. You don't know if God still can accept you. Maybe you've done some things that you're not happy with. I want to tell you, if you put your faith in Jesus, if you know that you're born again, then my friend, rest in that. Rest in that He's placed you in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Be awakened to that truth. Be awakened to that reality. and it'll inspire you to go on. But then, if you know that you've never been born again in your heart, you know that you've never come alive to God, you're still dead. That sinful nature is still inside, and it drives you. We all were there, just like Paul said, we were all like that. We were all driven by the cravings of our sinful nature. We were all there. I just know that I know that I now have fellowship with Him because I'm a new creation. And if you know that your heart is still dead, you've never been born again, I would love to pray with you. And so why don't we just, let's just close our eyes to honor those that would respond tonight. Thank you, Lord. If that's you tonight, you know you've never been born again, just look up at me and just put a hand up and I want to pray for you. You've never been made alive to God. To anyone else, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Anyone else, just look up at me. Show by way of hand. Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Father, I pray for these people that have responded to you tonight. Father, I pray that you would birth in them a new heart. That from today, they would be new creations. And they would know that you have birthed in them a new heart. Why don't we all just pray this out loud with everyone that's responded tonight. Father God, today I respond to your grace and your love. I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in my place. And because he rose again, I may have life. And I ask that you, Holy Spirit, would come upon me and make me a new person, that I may know you and know your love and walk in your ways. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. That's awesome. Right. Thanks, guys. I don't know if you've